Good evening.
Good evening.
Great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence here. That we can study God's Word together. Went and saw Miss Janet today, and she's doing okay. She's in good spirits. Just as was announced, have to wait till tomorrow to figure out what their plan is, how they're going to handle everything. And so please continue to keep them in your prayers. Mr. Birdie trying to sleep on that pull-out couch there in the hospital room. He told me, he said, I know I look uglier than I normally do because I'm not getting my beauty rest like I need to. And so, but please keep them in your prayers, and I know that you certainly will. As was mentioned, don't forget about the family of Mr. Charlie. I'm pretty sure I put this in the bulletin. The funeral is Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and it is at Helen Krieger Cemetery, and that is in Munford. It's just going to be a graveside service. But that's Tuesday at 10 o'clock, Helen Krieger Cemetery. If you don't know where that is, if you get online, the obituary's there on the Munford Funeral Home's website, and it's got the address for the cemetery and everything. So if you're wanting to go, you can get that information off of there. You know, this morning we spent some time talking about one possible destination when this life comes to a close, a possible place where we may spend eternity. And as we said this morning, that's definitely a place that you and I don't want to go. We want to avoid that. And tonight we turn that coin over and we look at the other side of that. And just as we want to avoid hell, tonight we want to notice the idea of gaining heaven. What will heaven be like? You know, that is a question that has been the topic of many books. We sing songs about heaven. We hear sermons about heaven. And if you're like me, such treatments always leave me wanting to know more. Because to be truthful, the Bible is probably not as descriptive as you and I may want it to be when it comes to the eternal home of the faithful child of God. But how do you explain an eternal, infinite, God-built place with human words? But God does supply us with enough information for us to know that we want to go there and that we want to spend eternity there. No matter what we have going on in this life, the various activities in which we are engaged, our job, school, hobbies, sports, whatever it may be, Christians need to always keep their eyes focused on the ultimate goal, on that which is most important. That which will last far past when our lives come to a close here. We need to keep our eyes fixed on God. We need to live our lives with eternity in mind. You know, I like to know a little bit about a place if I'm planning on going there. If I'm going somewhere, especially for the first time, you know, I want to talk to people who have been. I want to know, you know, hey, what are the good restaurants that I want to make sure I don't miss? What are some attractions that I want to make sure that I go see? And when it comes to heaven, I want us to tonight notice some things about that place to which hopefully all of us are going. Six things that we want to notice in all. Six descriptions of heaven. Number one tonight, heaven is a reward. Heaven is a reward. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, as Jesus is preaching that Sermon on the Mount, that famous sermon, and you'll recall that as he begins that sermon, he begins it with that section that we refer to as the Beatitudes, those blessed attitudes of the Christian. And in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Jesus said, great is your, there's our word, reward in heaven. And you know, part of the reward in heaven is the reward of heaven. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, as Paul's life is drawing to a close, as he's writing to Timothy, he knows that he doesn't have long left on this earth. And in chapter 4, in verses 6 through 8 of 2 Timothy, he writes, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the notice what he calls it, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Why is a beauty queen awarded a crown? It says she won, right? That's what it means. It means that that person was the winner. The crown is that reward for that time spent. Well, here Paul describes what we receive when this life comes to a close, that home of heaven. He describes it as a crown. In Revelation 2:10, John refers to it not as a crown of righteousness, but here, a crown of life. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, if I'm going to invest in something, whether it be money, time, energy, whatever it may be, I want to receive something for that investment, right? I want a return on that investment. Well, friends, there is no greater return that you and I can receive in living a Christian life than that of heaven. You don't want to talk about a return that far outweighs what we gave. That's heaven. Heaven is a reward. Friend, you name me one thing that Satan and this world can offer that trumps heaven. One thing that Satan can say, hey, I can give you this. And we would say, well, you know what? That might actually, there's not a single thing. Satan can offer us nothing that trumps heaven. Not one thing. Boy, sometimes don't we live life as if he does? Y'all, sometimes we sell ourselves so short. We give up on something so great for something so small in return. Let's not allow Satan to trick us. Let's recognize that great reward that heaven is, so that one day you and I can receive it. Number one, when we think about heaven, heaven is a reward. Number two tonight, heaven is a rest. Heaven is a rest. I think every funeral that I heard Brother Taylor do, Revelation 14:13 was one of the verses that he always used. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their deeds follow them. You know, isn't the idea of rest something that we all long for? I remember the first time when we decided we were going to take Reagan to Disney World. And we decided to save some money, we were going to drive. By the way, when we took Harrison, we flew. That was about 13 hours of just of driving. That's not counting stopping, bathrooms, and gas, and food, and all that. It was roughly 13 hours just of driving. Y'all, when we got there and we got to the room, I don't know if there was something magical about the bed, but it was the most comfortable bed I'd ever had in all of my life. That idea of rest, that idea of longing to cease from something. Living the Christian life, it's not always easy. In fact, if we're being honest, sometimes it can be quite difficult. Satan doesn't make it easy for us to live a faithful life. He never has and he never will. But, oh, friends, there's coming a day of rest that'll make it all worth it. There's coming at that day of rest that will make all that we've dealt with seem as nothing. Heaven is a place of rest from the trials and the tribulations of this world. Revelation 21:4, as John is describing heaven, he says, and he, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Y'all, if I knew nothing else of heaven, Revelation 21:4 is enough for you to sign me up. No more death. I don't have to worry about separation from loved ones anymore, from those that I care about. No more crying. There's nothing to make me sad. There's no mourning there. There's no pain. I know many of you have expressed as you've gotten older, you've told me things along the lines of, hey, growing old isn't for the weak. In heaven, you won't have to worry about those pains, those difficulties. There won't be any growing older. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, the Hebrew writer talks about that rest. He echoes back to the Sabbath day. And if you remember, for the Jewish people, the Sabbath day was a day of rest. It was a day in which they were not to work. They were to rest from their labors on that day. And the Hebrew writer says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. He's not talking anymore about the Jewish people. He's talking about Christians, that the Christians have a Sabbath rest that's awaiting them. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. He's talking about that those who have entered God's rest, those who have passed away, they've entered that rest if they were faithful to him. Rest is one of those things that we just seem to never be able to get enough of. But heaven is described as a place of rest. And I have a feeling getting enough will not be a problem there. Number three, heaven is described as a reward. It's described as a rest. It's also a place of reverence. You know, one aspect of our existence in heaven will be an expression of adoration, of worship to God, to Jesus. I think Stephen had mentioned to me last Sunday when he taught, that was one of the things that was talked about. And he mentioned it again on Wednesday night when he did the invitation, that, you know, part of being in heaven is the aspect of worship. But one neat thing about the worship there, here we worship God, we worship not seeing, right? I know God's here now. He's seeing the worship that we're offering him. He's hearing the songs that we've sung, the prayers that have been lifted. But there y'all face to face. I mean, can you imagine saying, oh, how I love Jesus, and he's right there? That's part of what heaven is going to all be about. It's about expressing that worship to God, to our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And there he is. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Nehemiah writes, you are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. Revelation 7:15, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Revelation chapters 4 and 5 depict God and Christ as recipients of worship there. Y'all, part of our worship in this life is preparing us for worship in the one to come. I can't wait to get to heaven, to be able to worship God, to see him. I don't know everything that worship will entail, but friends, I know that it will be like no other. Heaven is a place of reverence. Number four. Heaven is reserved. Heaven is reserved. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul writes, because of the hope laid up for heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. Notice, heaven is a place that we hope for. It's a place that we long for. And it's a place that God has reserved for us. Remember what Jesus said in John 14? I go to prepare a place for you, and then I'm coming back to get you. In 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Friends, we have a reserved spot waiting for us. If we're a faithful child of God, there's a spot with our name on it. But you know, to have a reservation, I have to plan ahead, don't I? I mean, there are restaurants that the only way you get in is with a reservation. And many of them, you can't call on Friday and say, "Hey, can I have a reservation tonight at 6? You know what you'll hear? No. Because we don't have any openings. Those reservations have all been filled. And so to have a reservation, you have to plan ahead. And we make our reservation by becoming a Christian, by putting Christ on in baptism. We keep that reservation by living faithfully to Him. And we receive that reservation by dying faithfully. No greater reservation exists than that of heaven. Number 5. Heaven is also a place that is a renewal. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, "But according to His promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Revelation 21:1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more." Revelation 21 verse 5, "And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Friends, there are so many things that will be renewed. Our bodies will be renewed. We'll be able to cast off this mortal body with all of its problems for an immortal body. For one that does not have any issues. And one that will never have any issues. We hear these descriptions of heaven will be a place like a new heaven and a new earth. The relationships of old, those things will be renewed. So many different things that will be renewed. Heaven is a place of renewal. And then 6th and finally, heaven is a reunion. Heaven is a reunion. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, as Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, in the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." Think about it for a moment. Noah, Moses, Daniel, Isaiah. How neat will it be to have conversations with those individuals? Peter, Paul, Stephen, James, faithful relatives and friends. All of those relationships that were cut short here, renewed there. And a grand reunion for all. Friends, I can think of no greater reunion than that reunion of heaven. If all we knew of heaven were these 6 words, friend, I don't know about you, but that makes me ready to go. As we close out, one final thing I want to mention. And that is, heaven is a place for the ready. Heaven is a place for the ready. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to have heaven as your home, then friend, you have to prepare. In Matthew chapter 25, we mentioned this passage, this chapter, this morning, as we talked about how heaven and hell are both described in the exact same sentence. But we mentioned that Jesus told a couple of parables before He gave that description of the judgment scene. And the first of those parables is the parable of the 10 virgins, Or sometimes we call it the parable of the wise and foolish virgins in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. And for time's sake tonight, we won't read through that entire passage, but when you go home tonight, I hope you'll take the time just to read those 13 verses. Because as you read through, there's a stark difference drawn between the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. And as we look at those two groups, there is something that has shown us that this is what made five wise and five foolish. It wasn't their educational backgrounds. It wasn't their upbringing. It wasn't what college they went to. It wasn't how much money they had. What drew the distinction between the two groups is five were prepared and five were not. The ones who were prepared, the ones who were ready, those were the ones that entered into the wedding feast. Jesus lets us know that only those who are prepared will have heaven as their home. We've talked about this before, but no one here is going to wind up in heaven by accident. Okay? You're not going to open your eyes and be like, oh wow, I didn't know I was going to make it here. If you're there, it's because you planned on being there. Because you prepared to be there, because you lived your life wanting to be there, because you were ready when God called you home. Friends, you get ready by becoming a Christian, believing in Jesus and turning from sin, confessing that belief, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you've done that, but you've turned away. Well, you can be ready again by coming back. In a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation. Friend, think about where you are. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want us to all be there together. But we have to be ready. Friend, make certain that you are. Together we stand and sing.
I am resolved no longer.